So please rise in body or spirit for the gospel reading. Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasured chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. You may be seated.
My daughter Lydia and I sometimes play this game when we're alone in the car. We take turns playing songs for each other. So I'll choose a song from like Apple Music or whatever our streaming service is to educate her about the finer things of music and like what's good in the world. And then she'll have a turn to share with me one of her songs that I usually sort of pretend to like, but I get it. And you know, if you're a parent, I have a secret agenda in doing this. One, it creates, particularly when she was in high school, kind of in that teenagery place, one, it creates a space for us to talk and listen, or not talk, but be together. It creates a little channel there. And the other secret agenda is it allows me to choose a song that's going to convey a message that I want her to hear about life, how to survive a breakup, you know, or it teaches her about who I am and what I think is important. And also, everybody should know the Temptations and the Four Tops. And she plays songs for me too, as I said. And a couple years ago, she said, "Okay, it's my turn. Listen to this." And she played a song by Ben Folds, and it's called "Brand New." And I feel like it came out last week, and I looked it up 10 years ago, people. I'm getting so old. 2015 feels like last week. But it sort of reminded me of New Year's and the Magi. So, and I'm not going to sing it because also copyright. But I want to read just a few of the words. The verses go, "I feel like new sunglasses, like a brand new pair of shoes. I feel like taking chances. I feel a lot like 17. I feel like windows rolled down, new city, streets, and cabs. I feel like anything can happen." And the next verse is, "I feel like a young John Cusack." Amen to that. "I feel like a young John Cusack, like making big mistakes. I feel like, for the first time in a long time, I am not afraid. I feel like a kid, never thought I'd feel like this." And then the chorus came. And the chorus is, Like when I close my eyes and I don't even care if anyone sees me dancing. Like I can fly and don't even think of touching the ground. Like a heartbeat skip, like an open page, like a one-way trip on an aeroplane. It's the way that I feel when I'm with you. Brand new. I mean, it's not the temps and the tops, but it got my attention. I commend it to you. But don't just Google brand new title of song, because there's some songs called brand new that I do not mean. They are really, really bad. So as we turn the page on a new year, I thought about this song because I'm hearing from more people than usual a hunger for something brand new, a brand new start, a clean slate. This year, more than most, I've had people pull me aside and say, I need 2024 to be over. Thanks be to God for parts of it, and I am ready for something new. For some folks, the need is so great, they don't even use their regular voice. They whisper it. It could just be me and the fact that I'm getting older. But it seems like there's a deeper need than in past years. The night sky appears a little darker. The wind kicks up a little colder. Can it be that anything can be brand new? So into this little space at the tail end of Christmas, when the stockings are no longer hung by the chimney with care, but the Christmas tree is still up until this afternoon. Into this space come the Magi to help us with this desire for something brand new. In Jesus, the desire for a brand new life, indeed a brand new world. Now, Matthew's account is the only gospel that talks about the Magi. Matthew never says that they're kings, and he never says that there are three of them. We think there are three because they talk about three gifts. And we call them kings because of prophecies that say that kings will come to the Messiah and bring gifts. But the Greek word, magoi, means magician or astrologer or wise one. And they've been studying stars, you know, looking for signs, gathering data in the heavens. And what we know about them is they were not Jewish. They were from far away from the east. And they had been studying the sky same day after same day, probably nothing much brand new. And then one day they see it, a bright star, an unusual celestial event, something brand new. And they go to Jerusalem to see what's up because that's the direction the star takes them and because that's where a king already lives. They're going, they think, to the source. Where is he that has been born king of the Jews? They ask the current king of the Jews. For we saw his star, it is rising, and we have come to worship him. Now, when King Herod hears this, he is not excited about anything brand new. King Herod is the king of, I like it the way it is. He's not filled with joy to the world. He's troubled. The shepherds received angel news as great joy for all people, but not for King Herod. God is doing a brand new thing. And it's about lifting up people who are downtrodden. It's not something anything Herod wants any part of. So Herod hatches a plot. What time did they see the star and where in the sky? And he says that he purports to worship this king, this Messiah. So he says, go find him and let me know, and I'll be on the very next camel behind you to worship him. But we know that isn't true. Herod is threatened. Is this the time that the Messiah is going to come? That's a bad day for Herod because Herod is sure that he's not the Messiah. If this child is who he claims to be, Herod fears, to quote R.E.M., another great band, it will be the end of the world as he knows it. He imagines Jesus as a military ruler who will operate the way that he does and the way that Rome does. And there will be revolt and violence, and he'll be in danger. So he has to look for Jesus to silence the songs of angels, to put out the fires of hope. If there's a light God has sent into the world, if anything brand new is afoot, Herod is about putting an end to it. Now, the men who should have been the wise ones have failed to notice the star at all. And when it's put on their radar, they respond by staying in their palaces and plotting to put it out. But the outsiders, the foreigners, consulted the skies, and they got up and followed from far away, not knowing the details for sure, and made it all the way on an outsider's faith. They didn't know the Torah, at least not like the insiders would have known it. And they made a long, arduous journey on a faith that they couldn't name or label. It's astounding if you think about it. These travelers from afar, from Arabia, from Iraq, from India, from China, those folks on the end of the map, the ones who weren't counted in the census, they are the ones accounted as wise. And they reacted to the coming of this bright new star, not with fear, but with determination. And in the end, with joy. Looking at a humble family and a child and seeing God's plan of love and salvation and a brand new king and a brand new world. I can almost hear him singing. Now, my favorite part of this text is where it says at the end that they went home by a different way or a different road. I think in addition to literally going home by a different way to escape Herod, I think they were changed by their encounter with Jesus. I think everything looked different when they got home from that. In a way, I think everything looked brand new. It doesn't say what the Magi's New Year's resolutions were, or whether they were afraid at having been made an enemy of Herod. But I don't think they were afraid. I think they were joyful. And they found what they were looking for in Jesus. Like the one who found a treasure hidden in a field. Like the one who ran from the tomb on Easter morning. They discovered that the good news of Christmas, this Messiah, is not just for Herod and not just for one people. Not just for the founding members of the church or people who do all the work around here. This Messiah is for all people, including people who don't talk, walk, vote, or worship like we do. This Messiah is going to grow up from being a baby and is going to call all who will come to follow him. To follow him from a Bethlehem cradle to a Calvary cross and ultimately to an Easter crown. That's the yearly trajectory of our journey with Christ, church. So the Magi are the perfect people to bring the message on this Sunday in January. They remind us that our God is not just a God of Christmas Eve and Easter morning. This God is for a windy Sunday morning in January, when it's freezing cold and snow is on the way. This God's light is not just for those who do and say all the right things. This God's love is for everybody who will have it. We have this story every year in part because the Christian journey is a lot like the one that the Magi took. It starts off with a sort of decision when you don't really have all the facts. Like when I call you and ask you to serve on a committee and you go like, that sounds good. And thank you, by the way, and I have a few more calls to make. It starts off with a sort of decision, like a resolution. For some, It's a decision to follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And for others, the Lord and Savior decision is a little hard to commit to at first, so they start saying, okay, I'm going to go to that church on Sundays. They commit to visiting, asking, where is the one who was born King of the Jews? I've seen something on the horizon. I'm not sure what it is. It might be a star. And the joy that is Christmas might start to find its way into business as usual. And we might find our heart, you know, strangely warmed. And we might come to find that Herod's point of view doesn't strike us as the way things are anymore. And we may find that there's just something about that church called Glenmar. And we may find that what started off as kind of a fool's errand is actually a gift, sort of a January surprise, an aha moment. Might even call it an epiphany. Following Jesus is not all about angels and tinsel and cattle lowing and angelic babies. It's not. It's a long, hard journey, but it's full of joy and triumphs and beautiful views sometimes. And also wrestling with doubt and faults and failures, realizing that the church is full of human beings who are imperfect, but who are committed to being on the journey, following the star together. It involves many times when we are reminded that we are never alone, that God is always with us. And when I forget, Ryan will remind me. And when he forgets, I've got his back too. There are many times when we see all of a sudden who this king is and how much he loves us. We see him in places where we least expect him. We see him at the soup kitchen. We see him at the resource center. We see him at Manna House. We see him in the classroom. We see him in the nursery. We see him in the nursing home. He even shows up to trustees meetings. Shout out about the paint downstairs. It looks amazing. Check it out. Jesus shows up. But a Christian journey is not all about tinsel and lights. It also involves cleaning up after the camels and hauling gifts, and pursuing a star that is always there, even if it's sometimes hard to see. So I guess what I'm trying to say, on the first Sunday of the new year, to be a disciple of Jesus is a chance to be made brand new any day of the year, over and over again. It's like when I close my eyes, and I don't even care if anyone sees me dancing. It's like I can fly and don't even think of touching the ground. Like a heartbeat skip, like an open page, like a one-way ticket on an airplane. It's the way that I feel when I'm with you, Lord Jesus. Brand new. Amen.